We're so blessed you joined us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio, just Miss Tara and myself. We hope you've been following along with us. And we've been talking about John the Baptist and how he prepared the way for the Lord. And we are working in the scripture of Matthew 3, 13 through 17, Mark 1, 9 through 13, Luke 3, 21 through 22. And, you know, we've been looking at how Jesus' baptism identifies us with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we're going to continue talking about why John the Baptist.
Yeah, why was John there? He's like, he's there preparing the way, and he's crazy. Like, scripture tells us, you know, he's just out there calling out, prepare the way for the Lord. In fact, it says in Luke specifically, Luke 3, 4 through 6, it says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Mm. And then he tells the people, you know, you got to repent. Well, in Luke 3, 10 through 14, I'm going to have Sandy read this specifically for us in a minute. The people, after he, in this passage, preparing, this is before the actual baptism takes place, he's so strong that the people can't help but respond. Mm-hmm. And I just recently was at a funeral for a pastor that was the pastor of my resident director, Courtney Cook. Her dad, John Cook, was a pastor in Yankton, South Dakota. And one of the things he was known for was he was faithful in communicating the gospel message, so much so that apparently he received a lot of flack, even from people within the Christian community, because he was very clear about you need to repent, you can't have sin, and you need to walk away from that which is not of God. And people had a hard time with it, but the man who spoke at his funeral was a young, well, he's an older pastor now, but he was a young man one day who, he played on like a school basketball team, and he just got in this really bad, nasty fight, and it was like all over the news. You know, this is college level sports, and as the pastor of that community, he had gotten up to go down to talk to the young man, but he was praying before he went. But God put on his heart, no, I don't want you to go to him. I'm going to make him come to you. Just pray. And so he just started praying for the young man by name. And one day, this young man and his friend had this encounter with God. He didn't share what that was, but he knew he had to go to church. So, like, in his casual sports clothes, he and his buddy showed up to church one Sunday morning, and the pastor, when he saw him, immediately stopped talking to the people he was talking to and went over and said to him directly, I've been waiting for you, which totally freaked him out, you know? But he discipled him from his whole life. He was in college. This is a man now that's probably like in his 40s, and he was who shared at the funeral. And was talking about that when we are faithful to giving the gospel, people can't help but respond. And for some people, that response is bad. They fight against it and don't want it because they're not willing to deal with their sin. Mm. But with some, the response is, what do we do? Mm-hmm. And that's what happened before Jesus' baptism. John the Baptist was really coming down on the people, and he was calling them vipers, which are snakes, and telling them, you have to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And this is the people's response. So I'm going to have Sandy read for us Luke 3, verses 10 through 14.
What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay."
Okay, so here we have different levels of society. We mm-hmm. have the tax collector, which is a person that's kind of like stealing. You have the Roman soldiers, which are kind of brutal. And then you have the general people, just as in a neighbor. So you're talking like what would be kind of like a good representation of society. Mm-hmm. Come in and they're like, oh my goodness, this crazy guy in this camel suit and that eats locusts and honey that we've come out to this desert to see, he's telling us we have to change. Right. And the people are like, what do we do? How do we do this?
Yeah, I've got it like in my notes here. It says to be generous, don't extort, be honest, and be just.
Yeah.
That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it, for all of us?
Well, and what I wrote out is that we have to be honest, mm-hmm. we have to be content, and we have to be kind.
I didn't have content on there. That's good. Yeah. That's, you know.
Yeah, those were the three I came up with. Mm. And that he's challenging them that they need to change their ways. So the repentance, remember, we talked about that last time, the repentance he was calling them to had to have action to it.
Right.
And as he is teaching, that action is being motivated. And he's wanting them to see that it's not coming from feelings, but it's coming from the simplicity of mm-hmm. allowing their life to be changed. I found this great quote by David Guzik. Are you surprised?
No, not at all.
He said, "Integrity in the ordinary things is still the mark of true repentance." Mm. Let's hear that again. Listen, integrity in the ordinary things is still a mark of true repentance. Someone that is honest, mm-hmm. kind, gentle, willing to share, doesn't harm people. And I was listening to another sermon. I can't remember the full name of the person, but I think the first name is Rosaria. She said that people who are out of the will of God will always fight the will of God and the people of God because they have left the blessing. And so they feel that that's their only way to elevate themselves. And if you think about that comes with not being willing to share, not being willing to be kind, not willing to recognize, oh my goodness, this person needs a coat. I need to give them this coat, or mm-hmm. I shouldn't be extorting taxes. I should be giving you money because you don't have enough to feed your family.
Right.
And so that is an automatic of what happens in us. And then if we take Micah 6:8, the Old Testament is very clear as well. And he says, "He has shown you, oh man, what is good." Mm-hmm. What does he say is good? He says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And so it wasn't new news to them. It wasn't new. We know these things. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we need that radical person who's willing to be bold to call us out. Mm. And I think my gut instinct, I don't think I'm the only one. My gut says I have to fight that person. I don't like the person that tells me, you kind of sinning. I don't want to be their friend. But we need to be willing to say, well, okay, let me listen to this so that my life can be changed as I allow the death, the burial, and the resurrection to do its work. The good news is I can ask for it.
I was just thinking that. You know, we ask and we receive, and that's so true. But we need to go to God and say, what am I to do with this?
Yeah.
You know, like whether you have money or whatever it is.
Right.
Where am I supposed? I was just thinking about that this morning. I don't know. I am so blessed. But I want to make sure that I'm giving where I need to give. You know, because I feel like I'm a generous person, you know, but I just need to get on my knees and find out where.
Right, right. That's mm-hmm. important. That's extremely important that in every aspect we surrender. Mm-hmm. So in my life, within the last month, I was praying through the spirit of judgment. I'm just confessing, being transparent with you guys.
We can be there.
The spirit of judgment comes up so quickly, so unexpectedly, and I can justify it better than the best.
Oh, we all can.
Right?
The critical spirit comes flying in, yep.
And so I was asking God, I'm like, God, like, I repent of this, and I have repented of this, and I repented, and I want to be where that's not in the core of me. And I was listening to different teachings on it, trying to, like, okay, give me some wise counsel, and why is this beast still an issue, and why does it seem to be the biggest beast I deal with in Christendom? Like, it seems like you can walk into a room and you can look at the cliques of the people based on how they judge other people. And that's, I'm not talking unchristian. I'm talking circles.
No, bad. It's there.
And I can't remember where it came from, but essentially the question that God put to my heart through somebody else's teaching, so this is like him teaching me through someone else, and I don't remember where it came, was where does the core of that judgment come from? And we have to get to the core of where it comes from. And oftentimes, it may come out of these things right here that John the Baptist was talking about. So the one who has give a tunic away. So being willing to share, not hold tightly to idols, okay? The tax collector, that's greed, to not be greedy. And then the soldiers, to not be unkind and cruel, to actually be loving and gentle to people. And so seeking out some of those, asking God, okay, God, the minute the judgment comes up, God, where did that judgment come from? And literally going ahead and asking God, God, why do I have that spirit of judgment? And sometimes it's a learned behavior we may have learned from our family.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it is a
friends or self-teaching it. Yeah.
Or self-destruction. When you think of judgment, Sandy, where do you think in your life it could have come from?
Like when I'm judgmental at one time? I think, I don't know, who knows? My family was a little judgmental, you know, prejudiced, you know, but I can't blame them because we each have a choice to make. And I'm like you, I don't want to choose to be judgmental, even though I have been judgmental. And those thoughts, you've got to capture those thoughts, because if you don't capture them, they're off and running. And the devil loves those little cracks to hop in there. And if we let them get bigger, we're really in trouble.
Right. And how did Jesus counter those temptations?
The word of God.
He countered it.
So like I was just thinking, I was telling Tara, I have a tendency to be depressed once in a while. And I remember going to the Word of God when my husband was very, very sick. And that just, it makes you focus on what you need to focus on.
Right.
You know, and so when we have those times, we got to recognize them. And we need to go to the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know.
And repent of it. Like absolutely. Literally give it to God.
Give it up.
With the spirit of judgment. Recently was having a discussion with a group of people about immigration, because right now our nation is really, really in turmoil over this. And I pretty much gave the challenge to the group, and I said, I'm finding that if I pause long enough, I have to pause. I confess the sin that I don't always do it. Oftentimes I will allow my mouth to speak where my mouth should stay silent. But if I pause long enough to ask questions to know the story, my view changes radically when I talk on issues and I don't have a definitive, dark, straight line. Because there's many ways that Scripture, for example, just on the issue of immigration, He's very clear throughout Scripture that we are to take care of the foreigner, we are to care for the stranger, for the person who is an immigrant. Those are some of the sojourner. Those are the words that are used for immigrants: foreigner, stranger, sojourner, and immigrant. They're used interchangeably in Scripture. Scripture is always clear: we're to take care of them and to care for them. And so it's taking the time then to know the story and then the process so that I'm not laying or slaying somebody that I've never even met because of a discussion that's happening nationwide, that we have to be where we get down to focusing in on the person and seeing the person. And when I'm willing to see the person, I have found I stop my spirit of judgment. I'm more willing to be honest. I'm more willing to be content, and I'm more willing to be kind, and I'm more willing to share because I have seen a person's face and I know their story. And when that happens, I'm also willing to listen well enough that then they're willing to listen to me because I'm not going after their sin. I'm sharing their story, and I'm helping them see how their story joins God's story, and that they see that it's out of love and not condemnation. It's crazy how it all intertwines, and when I do it right, it's beautiful. When I do it wrong, it's horrible.
It's very political out there.
Yeah, and that can happen in any level.
Yeah.
Okay, so being willing to do that and being willing to do the things that we need to do in order to grow in our righteousness, that's important. And so he's sharing with them that they need to have their hearts changed. So what he then, John the Baptist, does is that he then explains to them in Luke 3:15-18, he says that now as the people were in expectation, all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was Christ, because they then started to ask, is he Jesus or not? John answered, I indeed baptize you with water, but the one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal I am not worthy to strap or to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and he will baptize you with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn. The chaff will burn in the unquenchable fire. And with many exhortations, he continued preaching to the people. So here we see how John was trying them to see Jesus and wanting them to get there. He was strict with them. But you guys, we have to understand he was also humble. He did what Micah 6:8 said, and you know, of walk humbly. He was helping them to see that. And that's the reason why I think the people went out that day. And I think that's also the reason why it makes it so beautiful that Jesus showed up, because they were there.
They were waiting.
They saw him being baptized, and they heard him say, his baptism is to fulfill righteousness now. God bless. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts.